It's good to be here this morning to see so many of you, and it's a beautiful day outside. It's nice to have the Sitterlys back with us. It's our purpose and our goal to be faithful to God, to teach and practice those things that are found in the New Testament, to be true followers of Jesus Christ, disciples, and that in our lives we experience and practice true, authentic Christianity. And the result of that is love, joy, and peace, and those other qualities in our hearts that God, through the Holy Spirit, imparts to us through His Word. And we're thankful to be here today and to have the opportunity to worship and to see each other and grow in our love for God and for one another. Our lesson this morning is entitled, The Issues of Life. The Issues of Life. Life, as we know, has many issues. Many can take many turns, many unexpected turns or unforeseen. And the writer of Proverbs made an important statement, Solomon, in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. He said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." That's what I'd like to talk this morning about, the issues of life, and what that actually means and what that suggests in our lives as we follow the Word of God. The Hebrew word that is here in Kylan Dillich and their commentary of the book of Proverbs pointed out the fact that the Hebrew word chayim totzaot meant the point of life, the point where life is contained, the kernel of life. And from that, the direction that life takes. In other words, it is that life not only has its fountain in the heart, but also the direction which that life takes is determined by the heart. The physical heart is a symbolic representative of the inner man. And the heart, which the writer here is really referring to, is the inner heart, the inner man. Not just the physical blood pump, but the essence of life itself that is within man. And of all things that we must protect, our heart is the ultimate. Before we guard anything else, the most precious possession that any of us have is what is within our heart. And therefore, the writer is saying that we need to guard that. We need to keep our heart with all diligence, because out of it spring forth the issues of life. The direction that your life will take, those things such as your thoughts and the purity of your life and the character, the choices that you make, the beliefs, the values that you embrace, those are the things that stem from within your heart. And therefore, we are to guard and protect our hearts and keep them, because out of our hearts go forth the issues of life. And this is to result in a life that is pleasing to God. And that is the thing that the writer is pointing to, is that we want our life to be pleasing to God in His sight. And therefore, we keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The heart is therefore the centrum of a person's life. It is his innermost being and innermost self, his mind, his heart, his soul. All of those things are contained within his heart, and therefore, he must guard that at all costs, because that is what will issue forth with the ultimate direction that his life will take. Life is filled with issues. We can all understand that as we live our lives, there are each day new issues that come forth. There are things that, as the writer of Proverbs said in another place, that none of us knows the day before what will happen. That we don't know what the future may bring in our life. There are those issues that can come unexpectedly. Therefore, we must guard our hearts so that we may be best prepared to face those issues of life that come with wisdom and with godly character and with faith, that we might be best equipped to come forth through those in the direction that when our life is lived out, that we would be found pleasing in the sight of God. So it is an important point that is being brought here by the writer of Proverbs. As we look at our lives, we can always see that there is always somebody else that has it worse off in life than we do. We sometimes might begin to look at ourselves and think, my life, the issues that I am dealing with are overwhelming to me. I can't handle it. I can't deal with my life. Yet we can look and see there's others around us that have it worse off than we do in life. God has been good to us. God has blessed us all in so many ways. And yet, it remains true that we must guard our heart because that is where the issues of life come from. We want to, in our lesson, look at those different issues, some of those issues that life is filled with. And I want to begin by speaking about, in the first part of the lesson, the issues that we have with the circumstances of our life. Just dealing with the circumstances of life. And life at one moment can be a beautiful thing, and we've seen those signs that is very popular. Life is beautiful. And life is beautiful. And we can go out on a day and enjoy a picnic or seeing this part of the beautiful nature of the world as God created and have such a wonderful day. Take a drive through Seattle or go up to the mountains or go on a boat trip or different things that we can do to enjoy life. And God wants us to enjoy life. But circumstances of life can come unexpectedly. Issues with our health. Issues with our health can come up. And we understand that those can be very frightening and very life-threatening at times, issues that come up with our health. How are we prepared to deal with that? We might be able to one day feel like young and healthy. The next day, we might be feeling that our life is hanging in the balance because of some hidden illness or disease that is already there spreading within our bodies. We don't know what the future may hold in terms of those things. We find that Job was a righteous man in the book of Job. And in fact, the Bible said that there was, of all the men that were on the face of the earth, that he was one of the greatest men in the eyes of God, that he was lived a righteous and upright life, and was known by many for that. And yet Satan came among the angels of God and presented himself, and he brought forth a challenge to test the faith of Job. And God accepted that challenge. And so he went forth, and we're told that he struck Job with painful boils. And he had earlier struck his family and taken away his children and his possessions and things of that nature. But then he struck his health in chapter 2. And it said he took for himself a potsherd to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. And his wife said, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job maintained his integrity through this, is the point that the Scripture is making. But when our life comes through that issues of health, how are we prepared to deal with that? We need to guard our heart. This is an issue of the heart. And we can see the issues then of circumstances as it relates to our jobs. Our jobs can be another area where life has many issues that we must have to deal with from time to time. And in Colossians, the Bible tells us that when we do our jobs, that we are to do so with diligence, with heartily. He said, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So that is always our goal in our work, is to render that work heartily, to be thankful for a job, and to respect our employer and render quality work and ethical, and be caring to the people that you work with and build good relationships. There's many things that we can apply our faith in the presence of those where we work and make a difference in that way in our lives. And yet, when it comes to our jobs, there can be many issues that can arise. We might lose our jobs. We might have an employer who was unkind to us for some reason beyond our ability to understand that. We're trying to do a good work, and there might be still issues that we might come up against. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing as the children of God." How many times do we find sometimes today Christians complaining about their job? They come back and "Oh, my job, you know, I can't stand my work," and things of this nature that from a human standpoint, yes, we could understand that, as it is not like being able to do maybe something that we would choose to do. But at the same time, having an attitude as a Christian, do all things without complaining and disputing. Be thankful for the work that we have. Be thankful to have a job. And yet there are those issues. So it is a heart issue. That's the point that the writer of Proverbs is saying. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it come the issues of life. The kind of person that you are, the kind of person that shines in the workplace, so that people talk about that he is a quality in person, that we are valuable to have him working for us. Do people say that about us as Christians? The work that we do. We're thankful to have this man. He is such a quality individual working for us. That is the kind of thing that as a Christian we would hope to be said, that honors the name of Christ and brings glory to God through the work that we're able to do. There can be issues with circumstances, though, also in terms of the finances. Our finances. Managing our finances. Living within our means. Being able to pay those obligations that we make commitments for. To be able to support our families. And we are living in difficult times as far as that is concerned. We understand that the economy has been a tough time for us here the last few years. But the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 10 that godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. One of the goals then that we should have as a Christian is learning to be content with such things as we have. And that will go a long ways to us being able to live within our finances as well. You understand, the Bible has a lot to say when it comes to the use of our money. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us there that in chapter 22 and verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. What is he saying? He's saying that when you take out a loan from a company or a lending institution, that you can become a slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. We see the interest rates and the credit cards and things begin to pile up, and we begin to feel the burden of debt. And we feel like we're entrapped and we're enslaved. Whereas if we can live within our means and we can be debt free. We bought a book once when we were first got married, and we were having some problems with that as far as learning to live within our means. And the name of the book was What Every Husband Wished His Wife Knew About Money. So that was an intriguing subject, or as far as when I saw that, it kind of caught my eye. And so we read that book, Karen and I, and it really helped us to get ourselves out of debt. And we learned the principle that to have an emergency fund in your bank account. An emergency fund. What are you going to do if your refrigerator breaks? Or if your transmission of your car goes out? Now, if we haven't planned ahead, what do we have to do? We have to go down and put more debt onto our credit cards. But if we have done wisely, as the Bible teaches us to do, we can have that money set aside for an emergency time that might come. And if that did happen, then we are able to go and pay cash for the repairs that needed to be done, or the new appliance. So there's a much wisdom the Bible teaches us about living within our finances. Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Some of you that are here this morning have no doubt, lived through good times like the Apostle Paul. You know how to abound and you know how to be abased. Some of you probably grew up back in the times of the Depression, and where times were hard. And I remember one man, Zig Ziglar, used to make the statement. He said, "We always had enough food. I always knew I had enough, because when I went to refill my plate, my mother said, 'No, you've had enough.'" So he said, "I always had enough to eat." But a lot of people have been through hard times. They know what it's like. Apostle Paul said, you learn to be content with what you have. Learning to face issues within your finances is a matter of the heart. Guard your heart, because it determines the course of your life. These are all issues then of the heart that we've been looking at, issues with circumstances of life, the ups and downs, the good times, the bad times that can come, that can affect your health, it can affect your job, it can affect your finance. But we want to also look at some issues of faith, because it's with faith that we come through life to deal with these things. And what are the issues that we have with faith? One of the issues that Jesus often talked about, he said, "Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith." So true that oftentimes when things come up in our lives, Jesus could probably say the same about us. "Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you not trust God to help you through this time? Did you ever think that He wouldn't be there for you? He will not forsake you. He will not let you down." So it's a matter of growing in our faith, learning to trust God, learning to know that God is faithful to His promises that He has made to us. He will not forsake us. He will not defeat us. He will not be against us. He is for us, not against us. And in John chapter 11, in verse 20 through 27, Jesus had come to the home of Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus had died. And he had delayed his arrival for several days. And when he arrived, Lazarus had now been dead for 3 or 4 days. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said, "Lord, I know that there's going to be a day of resurrection. I understand that. But I'm talking about my brother has died." And so the conversation went on from there. And Jesus went to the tomb and he wept, and then he called for Lazarus to come forth. He did have that power. But he said, "If you believe, I am the resurrection and the life." That's the lesson that Jesus is saying. Do you have faith in me? Do you trust me in these circumstances of life that can happen? And losing a loved one certainly would be one of those times in life where our faith is put to the test. But in Christ, we can. We can overcome. Christ is all faithful and all powerful, that we can go to Him in our times of need. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony." And he said in verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So our hearts must be conditioned, our hearts must be trained to grow in our faith, to trust God, and not waver in our faith. In Hebrews 3 and verse 12 and 13, he said, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We're going to continue the conclusion of this lesson this evening. I want to not rush through all of these. This is such an important point and lesson that I am going to present the last part of it this evening. And we're going to deal with issues with people. Issues with people. And issues with sin in our life. We're going to talk about those things. But I want to close by talking about the fact that in our life, as we deal with people especially, and we'll have more to say about this evening, that sometimes in life it's necessary for us to put things together that are not compatible to one another. We can have things for a short time together that are not compatible. For example, when you go to the grocery store, the checkers at the grocery store understand this. They are trained that you are not to put things in there that don't go together. Things that are incompatible. In other words, they would not put your food and your detergents in the same bag. They will put them in one bag and in the other, because those things, like for example, if you bought Tide detergent and you put that in there with your grapes in the bag together and you got home, your grapes are going to taste like Tide. And the checkers understand that you separate those. You put this in a bag over here and this one in a bag there. And you have it in your grocery cart and then you put it in your car. But when you get home, you separate it. And you put the Tide back in this room and you put the grapes in the refrigerator. And it will be okay. You cannot have, though, things that are incompatible for a long period of time, because it will spill over and it will affect the whole. It's like you cannot put pizza with anchovies.
True.
Leave it sitting in your refrigerator on your countertop. You come home and everything tastes like anchovies. So you have to separate those things apart. Now, in life, how do we deal with the issues of our relationships with people? Whenever we have, as a Christian, love in our heart, we are to love one another. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But you have a problem with a person. You have an issue that you're dealing with an individual. And it begins to build up a bitterness. It begins to build up a resentment. And you have that in your heart. And your heart is a place of love. But you have this bitterness that's building there in your heart. Those things that are incompatible, they cannot stay there for very long without it contaminating the whole. He's telling us that you have to guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. You cannot allow that type of bitter feelings and that ill feelings towards a person to stay there in your heart. And to think that, well, I'm still going to have love in my heart for everyone. It's not going to be possible. You have to get that bitterness out of your heart. You have to reconcile that the best way possible. Or else it's going to begin to affect. Because anger that is stored in the heart doesn't keep. It decomposes into resentment and hatred. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So we can have anger in our heart for a short time, but we cannot allow it to brood there and stay. It's an issue of the heart. And when it comes to people, it's an issue of the heart always, that we have to keep our hearts pure. We have to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. There was an old song back in the 60s that was called "That's Tough." What's tough? Life. What's life? A magazine. How much does it cost? 15 cents. Well, I only got a nickel. That's tough. Life is tough. And life is full of these kind of issues that we have to deal with. So we need to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If you're here today and subject to the invitation of Jesus, we're going to extend the invitation to invite you to come forward. Give your life to Christ in obedience to the gospel. Repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus. And be baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. And if you're subject to that, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. And we hope you'll respond as we stand together and sing.